Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're addressing the question, where is the line to be drawn when putting others first? And this was a question submitted by someone at Providence, and the original question actually reads, where's a line to be drawn when always putting others first? Examples might be people continually seeking assistance for whatever, emotional support, asking for help with projects around their house, a boss consistently stacking more and more on, or a family member who continuously struggles financially and requests support. Where do you draw the line? Does it change if it is a brother or sister in Christ as opposed to someone who is not? What about if they are blood relative or not?
This is a great question, and it's something that that I'm working on in my own heart, because I've got this, and I know that I'm not special in this. There's probably a lot of people just like this, but I don't want people messing with my agenda. You know, I've got this, I got the stuff that I want to get done today.
Sure.
And when you come and ask me to do things, it messes everything up. But I can hear kind of in this question, maybe an underlying concern, am I being taken advantage of? Hmm. Possibly. Or it may be more of the kind of Greg Birdwell thing. I'm annoyed that I'm not able to get my own stuff done because this person or that person is putting other stuff on my plate.
Sure.
Whatever it is, whatever the motive is, there are some biblical principles that help us. So we're gonna try to get at this and provide a little bit of guidance.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. Definitely. Yeah. So let's start with realizing we're called to go the extra mile.
Yeah, this is the we could say just kind of the bottom line basic biblical principle for this question. We're called to go the extra mile, and that reference comes from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, specifically verses 38 through 42. I'm going to read those for us. You have heard that it was said, this is Jesus speaking for us, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. So this passage assumes that at least at times there is a motive on the person asking you that they want to take advantage of you, because the examples that the Lord Jesus gives, somebody slapping you around or somebody suing you for something or begging you for money or making you walk a mile. So it goes right to this issue that we might be afraid of, which is being taken advantage of. And it assumes that, yeah, there are people that want to take advantage of you. But it appears from the Lord's instruction here that as his disciples, we ought not be concerned that we're being taken advantage of. Because he gives no instruction about how to discern whether or not we're being, he just assumes that that's the case, and then gives instructions about how to deal with it. And in each of these cases, he says, yeah, you're going to be taken advantage of, and don't just do what you're asked, but actually do more than you're asked. Hmm. Give more of yourself than what's expected. So this guy that wants to abuse you by beating on you, let him beat on you more. That's the turning the other cheek thing. Now we could spend a lot of time going into that because there's more to that than just being slapped on the cheek. But we'll save that for another time. Then you've got the tunic and the cloak thing. Someone wants to sue you and take your tunic. The tunic is that's your inner garment, like your normal clothes. And he's saying if somebody wants to take that, well then give them your outer garment too. Just give them everything. If they want you to go 1 mile with them, go 2 miles with them. So rather than being concerned that you're going to be taken advantage of, just give abundantly more than what you're being asked. So it seems that the basic biblical principle is when someone asks you for something, give it to them. When someone asks you to do something, do it. That is the heart of a true disciple. This seems to be just the most basic bottom line answer to this question.
Sure. You know, my own temptation too is feeling like I may be getting taken advantage of and not wanting to miss out on opportunities that I may miss out on. And I think it's important to remember the scriptures. Our Lord Jesus oftentimes tells us these are the things you need to focus on. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember in his sovereignty, we're not going to miss out on what is truly important. He's not, you know, panicking that, oh no, if they keep getting taken advantage of too much, then these plans I have in mind for him or her are going to, he's going to miss out. You know,
yeah.
There's like a peace in that. Like, I can be spent, and I know that the Lord is, he's got my back, so to say.
Yeah.
He's going to take care of these other things.
That hand-wringing God, and I don't want to beat on my theological adversaries too much, but that's the Arminian God. The God that's worried that you're going to mess his plans up.
Yeah.
A sovereign God is not concerned about those things. He's the one that's moving all of these different parts. He's weaving a tapestry. He's the one that actually brought this distraction into your life.
Right.
He's the one that brought this person into your life asking for what you think is too much. Jesus said, give him more.
Sure.
This is God's agenda for you.
Well, yeah. Doesn't the New Testament teach that there is a reward in doing good?
Indeed, it does. And just one passage that would teach us this is Galatians 6:9, which says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Now, I just mentioned Arminians and kind of beat on them for a second. Let me beat up on Reformed people for a second. As Reformed people, some of us don't like talking about rewards. So we kind of stop up our ears and say, don't talk about rewards. I don't want to hear anything. It's all glory to God.
Yeah.
And amen to that, right? But we need to account for all the things written in the Bible.
Right.
And the Bible, especially the New Testament, over and over talks about rewards for doing godly things. So we need to believe the whole Bible and understand that when Paul says we will reap if we do not give up when we do good things, he means what he says, okay? So we can believe that when we give extra, when that person perhaps is taking advantage of us, or maybe they're not taking advantage of us at all, they just need help, and we're giving more than they need, we're going to reap what we're sowing. And what that reaping or what that fruit looks like, we have no idea of knowing what that's going to be. It may be, and likely is, just greater Christ-likeness, which is the best fruit possible.
Amen.
We underestimate the practical value and enjoyment of Christ-likeness, but if that's the fruit that Paul is talking about, if that's what we reap, man, there's nothing better.
Right.
And we should say yay when people ask things of us if we think, man, this opportunity to give is going to result in greater Christ-likeness for me. That should spur us on like crazy. Now, all of that said, we do have responsibilities, so we can't spend 24/7 taking care of everybody else's responsibilities. And I think if we're all being honest, we'd have to say we don't actually have people asking us to do all of their stuff. That would be an extreme situation. But we do have our own responsibilities, and given that we have limited resources, we have limited time, we do need to prioritize, and the scriptures do give us a couple of priorities.
Would you say our main priority should be to the household of the faith?
Yeah, I would say that needs to be one of the two. A priority should be helping and taking care of those of the household of the faith. I mentioned Galatians 6:9 a minute ago. I'm going to take Galatians 6:9 and add one more verse to that, okay? So 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Verse 10, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. especially to those who are of the household of the faith. So, yes, do good to absolutely everybody, but have an eye of overabundant giving and generosity to those who are believers. Now, some folks may think, well, that doesn't sound right, or that doesn't sound nice to prefer believers over unbelievers. And I can kind of identify with that a little bit, but when I step back and look at the whole Bible, and particularly the God of the Bible, I'd have to say, doesn't God differentiate between those who are His and those who are not?
Yeah, that's what He does. Yeah.
Yeah, He does it.
God does that.
He does it from the beginning to the end. He chose Abram to the exclusion of everybody else on the planet. Yeah. And then we get to Deuteronomy 7, and God is explaining to the Israelites why He chose them to the exclusion of everyone else. We have things like Isaiah 43:3, I give Egypt as your ransom, Egypt, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. So it makes sense that when we come to the New Testament, we would have this idea that while we're doing good to everybody, we should have an eye toward, especially making a priority of those who are believers. Other passages we could go to support this idea would be Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. This is where I believe the office of deacon originates. And there are widows being fed there. Well, there are widows within the church. 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 16, widows within the church who are being taken care of. And again, I want to make sure that I don't give the idea that we are not to do good for unbelievers. We are, clearly. It's just that if we're going to prioritize, we have limited resources and time, we need to prioritize those who are within the church.
Sure, and then the second main priority is to provide for our families.
Yeah, I mentioned 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 16 just now. That's specifically about providing for widows. And there Paul teaches that if there is a widow in the church, their family should provide for them. That should not be a burden on the church. But in that text, there's a broad principle that's given in chapter 5, verse 8, that says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So we need to make sure that we're taking care of our own family, our own household, our extended relatives. So those should be a priority. And again, that's not to say we don't help anybody else. It's just we need to make sure that we're taking care of those responsibilities.
Greg, is there ever a situation where it would be loving to say no?
To say no to somebody who is asking for help, would it ever be loving to do so? I think it would. As long as the motive of my heart is love and not frustration with being taken advantage of or frustration with having my agenda being wrecked by somebody coming in and messing up what I've got on my schedule. There may be times where I can say no for the good of the person who is asking for help. Occasionally, we'll see someone who, and this the person that asked this question has this in mind. You got this person who's asking over and over and over and over and over. Well, it may be good for that person's good to say no and to have a conversation with them about it. It's possible that person is sinning by not working or doing things for themselves. So 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 13 talks about the person who is not willing to work. Paul says, if anyone's not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus to do their work quietly, to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Now, he's talking specifically about the church, okay? So those within the church, if they're not working, they don't eat, okay? So if they're a believer, and Paul's concern is that if they're not working, they're discrediting the gospel. So there's a kind of a double concern there. If we continue to take care of them in that situation, A, we're abetting their lazy sinfulness, and second, we are helping them discredit the gospel. So out of love for them and for the cause of Christ, we should sit them down and say, look, you're actually sinning here by not taking care of yourself, by not working or whatever it is. If they're an unbeliever, but they're able-bodied, but they're perpetually asking for help, if you are always taking care of them, you may be retarding their progress to responsible adulthood by always taking care of them. So it may actually be a good thing for you to allow an able-bodied but lazy person to be allowed to know what hunger feels like, and that can actually be an avenue for you to share the gospel with that person. Now, we're going to do another podcast here shortly specifically on giving money to the poor and how to know when to do that, how to make sure you're not being taking advantage of that kind of thing. So I don't want to say too much about that now. We'll talk about that later.
Well, bottom line, we are to be givers.
Yeah. So going back just to that idea from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, we are to be givers. And the Lord's teaching there would tell us that our willingness to help others should be bottomless. Should never be limited by frustration or the idea that we're afraid that we might be getting taken advantage of. But our willingness to help should be bottomless. At times, out of love, we might say no, but that's not because we're not willing to help. It's because we want to help by saying no. And,
right.
And in that way, we're actually giving in a different sense. We're helping them in a different way. Now, the fuel to do this, a lot of people may wonder, well, how can I do that? Because I'm just so exhausted from helping people all the time. The fuel to do this comes from our fellowship with Him. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but I've heard this before. I heard this in a Sunday school class a long time ago at a former church. People say, you know, you can't take care of others unless you take care of yourself. It's that idea that, you know, you need to make sure that you're doing well before you can care about others. And it's kind of, it's similar to this worldly idea that you need to love yourself before you can love others. There is a biblical idea that's somewhat close to that, but it's you can't love others well without vibrant fellowship with Jesus. So if by taking care of yourself you mean have vibrant fellowship with Jesus, then I'd say, yeah, that's absolutely right. We need to be having vibrant fellowship with the Lord Jesus, loving Him, learning Him. That's what's going to fill the well up that gives us this love that makes us want to help others. And if I find myself just irritated by people who are asking for help all the time, it's likely that my fellowship with the Lord is wanting, because what I'm actually seeing is that I'm not as much like Him as I should be, because we just never see Him being irritated with people asking Him for help in the Scriptures. He always gives to those who ask in the Scriptures.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm reminded of Jesus' words that those who give up things in this life are going to be repaid tenfold.
Yes, right.
More in the eternal life to come.
Absolutely.
I think a life well lived is a life spent for the glory of God, and that includes helping others.
You're absolutely
and
right.
Giving ourselves. I need to work on that in my marriage, but so this has been very helpful.
We all do. Amen.
Yeah, amen. Well, until next time.
Okay.
Greg.
Bye.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.